All right, let's go ahead and have a seat. Before I worked here, I taught high school. I've not had to say that to a large group in a while, so that was kind of brought me back. But thank you. I am Cody. I'm the outreach director here, if you don't know me. And I'm curious. I wanted to start off. I wanted to ask, maybe it's just me. This seems to be the story of my life sometimes. But have you ever worked really hard on something, and then it just did not go the way you planned? Yeah, hey, it's not just me. Thank you. Woo. So, yes, I mean, you know how it goes. You get a new toy for your kids, and you spend all that time putting it together, and what would they rather play with? The box, yeah. So, or I know something we try to do as a family, because, you know, food's expensive. We try to plan out, you know, our meals and everything for the week and try to be good about not eating at restaurants and all that kind of thing, and especially with our kids growing. And when you have kids, they don't tell you how much they end up eating. They eat a lot. Like, they're, my goodness, my... Anyways, I won't tell all my kids yet, but they eat a lot. And so, but sure enough, it's like clockwork. Every Friday rolls around, sit down on the couch with my wife, and we're like, all right, what are we ordering tonight? So, right, you work hard on that. You work on it, and then it still, it just doesn't go the way you planned. Or for a more recent example, I got to catch some of that Jaguars game last night. They worked so hard to get to the playoffs, and then how that game went. Anyways. I know, I either just insulted or complimented a bunch of people, I don't know which, but that's okay. But that is how life goes sometimes, right? We work hard at something because we want to do well at it, right? I mean, that's why we do it. We, for lack of a better way of putting it, we want to win, right? We want to win. I mean, who doesn't like to win? I mean, there's no team in a locker room going, all right, let's get out there and lose this game, right? I'll save my Jaguar jokes for later. No one sits there and, you know, celebrates, yeah, we're in last place. No, people like to win, right? We like to be successful. That's why we work hard at things. We work hard at, you know, a lot of stuff. You know, like I said, I used to teach high school. I'd see my students work really hard to try to get valedictorian. I had one year who worked really hard to not get valedictorian. She was like right on the line, and she was like, nope, I don't want to give a speech. I'm not doing that. So, but we work really hard at things because we want to succeed at them. You know, also going back to teaching high school, it was, working hard for those college admissions. Or once you get through that, it's, you know, maybe you work hard for a promotion at your job. Or maybe you work really hard at keeping up with the Joneses, right? Right, we want to win. We want to do better than our neighbors, so maybe we want to this is church. We could be honest. I say that a lot. So maybe we want to win that argument with our spouse, right? So not that I ever do, but my wife's not in this service. I can get away with saying that right now, but we want to win. We want to win, and that's a natural thing. It's what we do in our flesh that we work hard because we want to win at something. But the problem is that mindset does not translate over into serving Christ. When we're serving Christ, we don't work hard so that we can win or be successful. It's not about what we can get. We work hard because Christ already won. That is why we work hard. And if we're not careful, that mindset of, I work hard, I serve Christ, I do this, this, this at the church, I do this, this, and this for my community, that can have very negative effects on our attitude and how we approach serving. Think about it. If we're not careful about it, it's very easy for us to become entitled. I do this, this, and this, you know, there, you know, I should have that, such, become entitled. We can become apathetic, that old, it's good enough for church work attitude. Or, discouraged even. If we don't have our priorities right, it can quickly lead to discouragement because we forget the reason we're serving. And for a lot of people, it causes them not to even to serve. It's like, why would I do that if I'm not getting anything from it? Serve at church, serve my community. I don't want to do that. Like, I got other things to do. We have to be careful with that kind of attitude because when we serve God, we're not serving for us to win something, for us to get something, but it's because of what Christ already did for us. But the nice thing is you don't have to take my word for that because the Bible says it too. And so we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to start at the end with verse 58. I like to look at things backwards sometimes, and that's okay. It kind of helps us put the whole passage into perspective. So it should be coming up on the screen here in a second too. We're looking at 1 Corinthians 15:58. And this talks about this same kind of idea about our motivation, the reason we do what we do. The reason we get up, come to church, why we have people over there, those crazy nursery workers over there. I can't imagine juggling all those little children over there. It's, you know, but why would people even bother doing that? Well, this talks about that, and it starts off with the word therefore. And I'm going to stop on that for a second, because whenever you see therefore in the Bible, you have to stop and ask, what's the therefore, therefore? So, yeah. So it gives you context on the passage. Therefore, he's saying that because of whatever I had just said, whatever I had just got done talking about, therefore, because of that. So what does he say before that? Verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. We win, but we don't. He does, right? Thanks God, he gives us the victory. But the nice thing is that the Bible gives us even more context than that, because what kind of victory does he give us? It's a pretty great victory. So the verses before that, if you look at verse 54, it says, when this corruptible will have put on incorruption, he's talking about the body. He's talking about our salvation. And this mortal will have put on immortality. Then the saying that is written shall come to pass, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Because death and the grave don't have a victory if we're in Christ. Now, for those of you who might not know, quick little theology thing, our salvation, when we are saved, it's a three-part. You can think of it as tenses. We're saved from the punishment of our sin. We're already saved from that. We are being saved from the power of sin in our lives, not that we don't do wrong, not that we don't have problems, but we are growing closer to Christ. We are growing past those. And then what this passage in particular is talking about is we will be saved from the presence of sin. We'll have a life with God, away from sin and all of that. And that's what he is talking about. And he's saying that's our victory, that we have that victory already. I mean, we don't presently have it. We're here on this earth, but it's as good as ours. And we have that, and that should motivate us. That kind of future should spur us to action, because we don't have to worry about what happens when we die. We don't have to worry about the grave. We're good, and that should motivate us. That should be motivating for us, that we have that, and there are people who don't. And so, therefore, that's what the therefore he's talking about. He's talking about this life that we're going to have in Christ and this wonderful victory we have and how death does not have the victory anymore. Praise the Lord. And so he goes on, and he says, how should it motivate us? He says, therefore, my beloved brothers. So he's writing to Christians. The writer of this book, 1 Corinthians, is Paul. He's writing to a church just like ours. It's a church. It was full of people. They had their own problems. This church in particular had a lot of them. And so they had their own issues. They had their own things going on. And, you know, he's writing, but these are Christians he's writing to. These are believers just like you, just like me, in a church. I mean, they probably didn't have electric lights and air conditioning, but I'm very thankful for those. But he's writing to a church full of people, and he's saying, my beloved brothers, these people who are already have the victory in Christ. And he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. He's saying, because of this, because of what Christ did and what he's going to give us, you know, we should be this, this, and this in the work of the Lord. And I want to look at those sayings because they're interesting to me. He says that we should be steadfast. We should be steadfast in our work. And I like this word. I have a lot of fun getting to study these passages. I enjoy that a lot. And that word, steadfast, it's an interesting word in the original. It's actually not the most common word that's translated steadfast. But it's from the word that means to sit, which I thought was interesting. Because if you, like me, have ever had a toddler who threw a fit in the store, anybody? Just me? No? Okay. Ooh. So what do? They sit right down, right? Because that makes them a lot harder to move, right? They don't, whatever it is, whatever they want something or don't want something, or I don't know what goes through their little minds, but they plop right down and they sit there because it makes them a lot harder to move. And he's saying that when we're serving the Lord, it should be like that we are there, we're consistent, and we're very hard to move. So it should be, you know, the saying, you know, sit down and get to work kind of comes to mind. So that we should be sitting down and there, or if you have a dog, I have a dog, her name's Lucy, she's a little dog, she's a mix, but she's a great dog, you know, but have you ever taken your dog on a walk and your dog decides the walk is over? It does not matter where you are, that dog plops right down, right? And hopefully if it's a little dog, you just kind of pick them up and carry them, but if it's a bigger dog, you're over there like, they don't want to go anywhere, right? They just sit down and they're not moving. So that's the idea there. He's saying, be steadfast, seated, not moving. So that's how we should be serving. Not moving, steady, consistent. Why? Because of what Christ did for us. Because of him, we have work to do. We need to be consistent in that work. We need to be faithful. And then he says that we need to be unmovable. There's no real fancy meaning with that one. It just means not moving, just staying put. I guess just in case you thought you could find a loophole and make that chair a rolly chair or something like that. You know, he's just being clear, not moving. You are seated, not moving. Always abounding. I love this too, because that word, it literally means like a super abound, a whole lot. We would say like greatly overflowing. It just comes out of us. It just keeps going. Now, I'm gonna tell on myself here. I debated telling this story, but it just fits so perfectly because it makes me look like I'm not that smart. But I sometimes don't always do the smartest things. And so I'm going to just chalk it up to that. I was tired, and I was going to run the dishwasher one night, and instead of grabbing the dishwasher detergent, I grabbed the dish soap. Yeah, some of you know where this is going. Yes, I have too. Yes, I grabbed the dish soap, and I didn't realize it at first, and I put it in there, shut it, went, and I was like, oh, all right, done with that. I was not done with that. And so you want to talk about greatly overflowing. If you've never done that, don't. Learn from my lesson. Because those soap bubbles just kept coming out of that dishwasher. It looked like something out of a cartoon. I was like, I look at my wife, I'm like, is this what really happens? And my sweet, precious wife is like, I'm like, well, what do I do? Do I just let it keep running? She's like, no, it won't stop if you keep doing that. They'll just keep being more. I had to scoop all those things out of there. It was awful. But I know. And see, I would like to tell you that this was when I was like, I was like 13 and, we're not going to get into that. But but that dishwasher was greatly overflowing. It just kept coming. Those bubbles just would not stop. There was more and more and more and more of them. There were a lot of them. It just kept overflowing. And our service, when we're serving Christ, that's how it should be. It should just come out of us. It should just keep coming. It's not about a checklist. It's about a lifestyle. It's about who we are. Who we are, we're just the kind of person who will be willing to serve. Why? Because I'm just some great person and that's who I am? No. Because Christ is great. Because it's about who he is. And that should motivate our service, and that should cause us to serve. And there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot to do. And it's that work should just be overflowing from us. Should be our lifestyle, not a checklist. Knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We can know that our labor, it's not in vain. That word labor, it has the idea of toil. It's not just labor, it's toil. It's a lot of hard work, right? Because, you guys know how it is. There is work and then there's work, right? There's work where it's like, okay, I don't mind doing that work. And then there's work that is like, oh boy, okay, that's, right? So that it's talking about this. It's talking about the work. Like, he's like, that's your work. Even that hard work, that backbreaking work, that tiring work is not in vain. And that word vain, that same word in the Greek, it's used to mean empty. There's even a passage where it's used for empty-handed. So it means it's empty. There's nothing there. But our work in Christ is not empty. That work matters. The work that we do when we serve Jesus, it matters. It's important. It doesn't leave us empty. So serving doesn't leave you empty. In fact, it's Christ's way to have a much fuller life. Now, notice, I've been careful. I have not said that you're going to get reimbursed for all those hours that you've been serving, or that, you're going to be rewarded materially, because that's not how it works. So you might not be. You might never be in this life, in the next one, but that's not why we do it. We do it because of Jesus, because of what he did for us, because of this right here. This is why we do it. Not because of anything we can get or anything we've done or because we're great people. We might be great people. I like to think I am, but I don't. So, but it's because of what he did. Because of him. And so that is such an important thing for us to grasp, that work is important. That when we're serving Christ, when you're serving Christ, that matters. But of course, it raises an important question, because a lot of times we can get kind of, especially those of us who have been in church for a while, we hear something like serving Christ, and our brain, you know, we just kind of click and we know what that means, but we really got to think about, what does that mean to serve Christ? Because if I'm going to serve someone, if I'm going to serve my wife, it means I'm doing something for her, right? If I'm going to, you know, when you go to a restaurant and get served, they're bringing your food, they're bringing your drinks, they're refreshing your drinks, all of that, you know, but Christ is not here bodily. I don't see him. Bodily, he is not here. So how do we serve Christ? We serve Christ when we do his work. It's when we serve people, whether that's sharing Jesus with them, being a blessing to them. It's about serving others. Because if we look at the Bible, what did Jesus say were the two great commandments? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus loved people. And if we love him, we're going to love what he loves. And we're going to work to serve other people. And that's how we serve Christ. Now, I also want to say, I'm going to dispel a myth because I've seen this attitude. I think I've had this attitude in the past. So it's not about a magic number of hours serving. It's not a magic number of, you know, hit my hours in church this week, I'm good to go. So we're talking about serving God, not doing community service hours. So, but we can approach it with that mindset sometimes. You know, did my good deed this week? I already served at church this week, I'm good. So that's how we look at it sometimes. But we're talking about serving God. Not about a checklist. So, after all, Jesus was a great example of this, right? It was Jesus who said it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? We like to receive a lot sometimes. And so, and wasn't it Jesus who also said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many? He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about others, and thank God he was thinking about us, right? So, Jesus did that, and we need to follow his example. Our service for Christ, it should be an overflow, just part of who we are, not about a checklist. It's a lifestyle. And if we approached our other relationships like checklist, that probably wouldn't end well for us. If I approach my relationship with my wife like a checklist, she would not be very happy with me. And so it's not just about, I already told you I love you once today, honey, we're good, like, sorry. Like, you know, that wouldn't, I already took out the trash this week, I don't have to do it again. Like, that's not, it's not a healthy relationship. So it's about a lifestyle. And so maybe you're here. You know, the way I see it, you're probably in one of three groups. You either need to keep at it, get at it, or start at it. All right? Maybe you need to keep at it. If you're here, you know, they say, I don't know how accurate this is. I don't have any numbers to back this up, but I've heard this most of my life, is that in a church, typically 10% of the people do 90% of the work is the standard, you know, little thing, rule of thumb that's thrown out there. Again, I don't even know if that's accurate or not, but, you know, just observation kind of bears it out that there's, you know, there are people who do a lot at any given church or in the community. Because, you know, I should say too, I'm not just talking about at church here. This doesn't, I am talking about at church. We should be serving at church. But I'm talking about at church, out of church, at your house, out of your house, you know, people you don't know. It should be our lifestyle. Serving should be a lifestyle for us. Doesn't matter who, doesn't matter where. Jesus served wherever he saw an opportunity. And so maybe you're here and you are serving. You are faithful and you are serving, and that can be exhausting. I understand that. I've experienced that. You know, I'm the outreach director, but that's very new for me. That started back in July. Before that, I taught high school for a bunch of years, and I was teaching all week and coming here on the week. And I would be lying if I told you over those 10 years I didn't get tired. It can be exhausting. And sometimes you got to take care of yourself. You really do. We can end up like Elijah. You know the story of Elijah. He just had this great big victory where he called down fire from heaven and burnt this bull with all the fake prophets there. And he had this great victory. And I could tell you, if I had called down fire from heaven, I would be way too smug about it. So, but Elijah was apparently not that smug about it. I would have been like, yeah, look at that. I didn't know I could do that. All right. But Elijah was not. And then the queen, Jezebel, which if you're not familiar with this story in the Bible, yes, her name is Jezebel. She's the original one, so you can get an idea of who she is. And so the queen was not very happy with him and said, you're going to be dead by this time tomorrow. So what does he do after calling down fire from heaven? He runs away and hides. So Like any of us probably would, like I probably would. And so he runs away and hides, and he's tired and he's exhausted, and he finds himself a nice little tree, and he lays down there and says, "All right, God, all right, I'm ready to die. I'm good. Done my part." So you know what God does? God says, "All right, sounds good." Or God says, "All right, I'm done with you then." Nope. God lets him take a nap. Has an angel wake him up, give him some food. Let him sleep some more. Have an angel come, give him some more food. Needed a nap and some food. Needed some rest. Sometimes that's what we need, is some rest. And you know, I don't know your heart. You know your heart. And if that's you and you need rest, it's good to rest. Make sure you take care of yourself. Don't let yourself get burnt out serving, because Satan would love that. It would be great for him if you didn't serve at all, because you just got too worn out. So maybe that's you, though. And I just want to say thank you if that is you. You're doing a lot of work, and it's seen. God sees that. Thank you. But maybe you're here, though, and you need to get at it. It's not keeping at it. You need to get at it. Maybe you've never served a day in your life. You think it's crazy. Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody, you know, take their free time and go and serve at church or serve out in the community or help the homeless out? Why would anybody want to do that? Maybe that's you. I want to challenge you to look outside of yourself, to not make it about you, but say, how can I do this? Because God saved us for a purpose, to spread the good news of his son. That is why we're here. And we do that. We serve him by serving others. And maybe you're here and you do serve, but you're sitting there thinking, you know, I really am just checking that checklist. It really is. I come in, I do my thing, and I leave, and it's nothing else to me the rest of the week. I want to challenge you too. Step out on faith. Take on some more responsibilities. Find something else you can get involved in doing as well, not instead. And maybe you're here and you used to be very active serving. And you say, well, I've paid my dues. I've done my time. We're not talking about going to prison. So we're talking about serving God again. There is no "I paid my dues." You know, now, does how you serve change? Probably will. Probably won't look the same, you know, over the years. And that's okay, but the fact you serve should be consistent. And maybe you're here and you say, oh, yeah, I've let that slip in my life. Got to be honest with yourself. I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. But you got to be honest with yourself and say, yeah, I let that slip in my life a little bit. It's time to get that back on track. Get back at it. So if you're here and you have a pulse, and I hope you all do, you have a purpose, right? If you have a pulse, you have a purpose. Christ has you here for a reason. Not to just sit here in a comfy chair, and these chairs are very comfortable, I understand. But to get out there and to serve. To serve for him again, not because it's anything we can get, because it's good for me, but because of what he did for us. And maybe you're here, maybe you're not in that keep at it, get at it, but you need to start at it. Maybe you're here and, you know, for lack of a better way of putting it, you know, if I'm going to keep going with this working metaphor that I've kind of had a little bit here, if you're here and you haven't accepted what Jesus did for you, you haven't even put in your application yet. You haven't even started. You haven't even accepted the job yet. And if you're here and you say, I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe in that. I don't believe in what Jesus did or what you're saying. I want to encourage you to look at it. To say, hey, you know, why don't you believe? Look at the evidence. Look at the Bible. Look at what it says. Because Jesus, he died for us. So what gets us, you know, for those of us who do believe in him, this is what gets us here in the morning, right? If it wasn't for this, why bother? It's because of that. Look at the evidence. Look at what he did for us, how he died for you. Not just for everyone, for you. Look at that and ask yourself, do I believe in that? Do I really believe? Have I really accepted that in my life? Because it's there. Jesus Christ, it's like he's holding out this gift of salvation, right? He's holding it out. And all we got to do is take it. We got to accept it. That's all we got to do. But it's just, for so many people, it's just there. And Jesus is just waiting. Waiting on people to accept it. Now, there are some people, if you're here, you're hearing about it right now, so you don't got any good excuse now. So that Christ died for you. to save us, because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise that God has made. And you can choose to accept that today or not. It's your choice. I'm not going to make you accept it. I'd encourage you to. But I want to encourage you to believe that, to at least look into it, because the Bible will stand up for itself. Look into that and get started on that. It's a gift. It's being offered. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're the kind of person who needs to keep at it. If you're feeling discouraged, keep at it. Take care of yourself, but don't quit. Stay strong. Keep going. Maybe you're here. You need to get at it. You need to say, hey, I could do more. I could do something. I could start. I could do, you know, or, you know, I've let myself slide. I need to get back to it. Or maybe you're here and you're like, ooh, yeah, I don't know if I believe that. Or maybe I'm ready to believe that. Take that step. Accept what he's done for you. Because, you know, there's a lot of work to be done. You look at the world, it's a dark, dark, dark place sometimes. But the good news is for us, we already have the victory. We don't have to worry about whether we winning or losing. Jesus already won. And that should motivate us to serve. Look, we have, because of Jesus, we have work to do, and that work matters. And I want to encourage you to get on board with what Jesus is doing. Let's pray. Dear Lord.